My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the final Ahsoka Season 1 post-show. My name is David.
And I'm Colin.
And what did you think, Colin? That's the finale. No more Ahsoka for this year.
A lot of questions have been raised. We thought we were going to get a lot of answers, but we got more questions. Especially, I feel like, with like the last 5 minutes of the episode. If you haven't seen it yet, you probably should not be watching this video. But if you have,
yes,
you know,
spoilers for all of Ahsoka season one.
Let's just talk about a fan favorite moment, which is probably seeing Anakin as a Force ghost again. That was awesome. It was fantastic. But also, I think one of the coolest shots ever, and it felt like Lord of the Rings, was where Baylan was standing on that like cliff, and then what, Josh? Am I wrong?
No, I just joined in. That episode was the biggest tease to a season two I've ever seen.
Oh,
I
man.
Was like, you.
We had Baylan standing on a rock with a cool-ass cape. He was standing there. It was just like, oh, my God.
I was like,
gosh,
wow,
man.
I can't wait to figure out what's going on here. Oh, just kidding.
Yeah.
I was like, man.
And what was really funny was seconds before that, seconds before Shin and Baylan showed up, I was on the, when we were watching it and I had my wife right next to me, I looked at her and I was like, man, I can't believe we haven't seen Shin or Baylan at all this entire episode. And then sure enough, she is riding on the creature and then she holds up the lightsaber. So it's like, okay, cool. She's in charge of the clan now. That's great. And then you see Baylan just standing in a majestic way, looking at what looks like Mount Doom from a distance, by the way. I was like, okay, this is like whole Lord of the Rings vibes. I mean, I loved it. It was fantastic. But then the reveal where you see the son and son and the father from the Mortis arc, which we get, you know, that kind of mention in live action, which is pretty sick. So it's awesome that that we got that. And then we got Ahsoka and Sabine stranded on the planet. And Ezra is back home.
The more I just show up to be so and then just fly off. It's like, okay.
This episode really felt like a live action version of one of Dave Filoni's projects. Like it really felt like a Clone Wars Rebels type episode, and it really showed. But you can definitely tell that the show was his baby. Like he pulled. So there were a lot of callbacks. I think the zombies was a super cool thing. Overall, I thought the episode was great. It sucks.
The Death Trooper zombies too.
Yes. And we actually saw like the teeth and yeah. I was like, okay,
I'm glad they did that.
Yeah. I was like,
this really just kind of this was an ending that I was kind of expecting because I figured I knew there was no way that James was going to be right about Thrawn not actually getting to the other galaxy. I was like, he has to get there. That has been the anticipation from the very beginning of the show, that Thrawn was going to get to the other galaxy. I kind of figured that if he just got stuck there and then they were just kind of chasing him like from different planet in the galaxy, to me that would have been like, come on. So I am satisfied, but I'm also still hanging on the edge of my seat because it's like, we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know when the next time we're actually going to see Thrawn, which most likely will be the movie, but will we see him before then? Will we see him in Mando season 4? Will we see him in Skeleton Crew? You know? Ugh.
So Ken Collects on YouTube is saying, so Anakin is the father. Did y'all get that from that?
No. I didn't get that.
I mean, that's an interesting theory, but honestly, I think maybe Baylan is trying to, like, you know.
I think he's looking for more into that kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah. There was only two statues, right? The father and the son, right?
Yes, because of the daughters was smashed. Some people could say, oh, you know what happened over time, but others could say, you know, that is a sign.
When was
that?
Ahsoka is really the daughter.
Well,
or the daughter is Morai that follows Ahsoka around, and it's like a dyad almost.
I feel like the next project is going to feel like when people were predicting of what was going to happen. I'm not going to say it because Craig's going to flip out, but of what was going to happen in the next episode, because all the theories were like, oh, he's Darth Plagueis and all that stuff. I can already see the theories just popping out on the social media platforms. Because it's just like, this episode was really open-ended. It's like, what's going to happen? How are they getting back?
Well, at least Ezra can speak to space whales now. So we know that's confirmed. Do I think that they'll probably transverse through the world between worlds? Probably. Morai shows up just to say hi. So, I mean, I'm like, who knows? I was kind of like, I don't know how fitting of an ending it was for me. It's like, it's a bit of the bad guys win. And I feel like we've had a lot of that recently. So
yeah,
I like that at least. So I wonder what the other, like your average audience is saying right now. It's like, I don't know if this is going to be as satisfying to them as they had wanted, because I feel like they want everything wrapped up. And I'm quite happy that this allows us to get more Star Wars.
Yeah. I agree.
There's a lot unanswered.
Was that Ezra at the end?
What? Yes.
Who do you think it was?
Can you elaborate on that?
The comment went kind of fast. I was actually trying to click on a different comment, and then this popped up.
I guarantee you that, you know what? He's right. It was Jabba the Hutt, 100%.
Yeah, whatever they're trying to do with Baylan, man, I'm like, I'm all for it. Also, I did, you know what would be really cool for Galaxy's Edge?
What?
If we got lightsaber builders that were, you know, like Hu Yang, that'd be cool. I would love that, dude. I thought that scene between Hu Yang talking with Ezra about building lightsabers is really cool. I really like that.
Because the fact that they put that in of where, like, you know, I knew Kanan and all that stuff, and then we actually got to the point of where he's like, hey, I got this extra piece. I was saving it for Kanan. It's only fitting that this piece goes to you. It was just like, oh man, I was like, oh.
What I would have given
you guys did it. Good job.
To have that ending, and then it just for a little bit longer, and have like Jason meet Ezra. I would have loved that.
I wanted Jason to be in that last scene. He should have been there and ran over.
Yeah. That would have been great. And I think
with Chopper, that would have been a lot more emotional.
I think the confusion on Ezra's face could have been sweet, but funny at the same time, because he would be like, who is this? Or he would, you know, sense it and be like, oh my gosh, this is Kanan's son. Like, oh my God. Like,
I would have liked Hera to be like, or like Jason to be like, who is that? And then, or then she's like, basically explains it like really quickly. Like, this is who I've been telling you about.
Would know stories about him though. And seen.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But yeah, no Zeb.
I was about to say that.
You said you guys saw a trailer with Zeb, which is funny.
There, no, that like, actual shot actually didn't. Now that, going like, that shot didn't actually show up in the show at all. That because of there was a specific shot of where Ahsoka was walking through what looked like the ghost cockpit, and then you had Hera on one side, Sabine on one, and then Zeb was over at a council, and that was over
I remembered that it was like
yeah.
the first initial teaser trailer.
Yes!
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and they didn't
walking into like the chancellor's office or something, and something like that, right?
Yeah, but they didn't have that shot at all in the show, so I don't know why they didn't have it. Maybe
we're
saving
it for season two, boys. We're saving it for season two.
I don't know. I think having Zeb not being in the show was
a big letdown. We were gonna have him in that scene where Hera is chasing it down before they shoot off into the next galaxy. With all the other TIE fighters.
I agree. Zeb should have been there somewhere. Even at the end of this.
Yeah. I'm bummed. I was really hoping.
Anakin spirit at the end. Now there's no debate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also liked how he was actually wearing his outfit from Return of the Jedi as well. Like his robes were the same ones that he wore. So
Jedi.
Yeah, because of
special editions, Craig.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So Ken Collects on YouTube says, so is it Abeloth or the Sun calling for Baylan? I think it's no question it's either the Sun or the Father, but I mean you'd figure it'd be the Sun because the Sun's like straight up evil.
The Father died and the Sun died. They're all dead. The only way that they could be alive is if they're like a spirit animal like Morai. Because in a way, it's, again, this is kind of getting to the biblical side of Star Wars. But when the daughter died, she kind of came back as a spirit animal. So the only way that the son and the father could actually do that is if they did the same thing. But I think that was a hint that they're going to go into the world between worlds. And Baylan will go on this path, and maybe he might be the one to bring balance back to the Force, because of he'll, you know, who knows? Again, it's there's so many possibilities.
Would you like it to be Abeloth though? That'd be a cool. I think Abeloth being a part of this would be really cool.
I think with the imagery though, with him standing on like the hand.
Yeah,
of the father,
that's true.
I mean, there's some connection there, so it's essentially that's what he's seeking out. Zach says on YouTube, "I love how the first shot of Thrawn was the first trailer from the first trailer was the last episode." Yeah, I thought about that immediately too.
Do you like that episode? Hey, you like that episode?
So JD on YouTube says, was Shin about to slaughter the rock snail people? Those are the bandits at the end that she picked up her saber. Like, hey, don't shoot or attack me.
Disappointed that she went to them, but.
Well.
What else she got?
Yeah, no choice. Yeah.
She could have went to Ahsoka.
That's true.
Well, I mean, they're all stuck on that planet. At one point, someone will end up running into the other.
It's really set up for another season. And I'm very surprised on that. I'm like, okay. I mean, because we haven't had anything confirmed. So, right.
Well,
I think we were up and happening. Yeah, no. Writer strike's over.
Well, of the writer strike, but there is still the actor strike happening. So yeah, I think they're waiting for any further announcements until after that.
It's interesting to me because I'm like, if we get a second season, will we get all these answers? Or do you think that we're just going to pass into the movie? Because I don't really want them just to immediately pass over into the movie anymore. This has left enough open that I'd like it explored. However, do you guys feel like it could have been all answered in a 10-episode series instead of an 8-episode series? Or do you feel like a whole another season is worth seeing and then a movie?
That would have been nice if the show was longer.
I'd rather see another season of it than have done two more episodes, you know?
Oh, that's man. Fair.
Yeah, I love seeing the zombie troopers. I thought that everything that happened in this episode felt like Dave Filoni just kind of brought everything from his drawing boards, you know, into live action. I was not surprised by anything we saw because it was like, it's Dave Filoni. He will just go crazy with like everything. Now, something that I am curious about, my guess is that Ezra was on Dathomir, and that's how he got back to the ship. Because of he shows up in a other Jedi transport, which we haven't seen since the Clone Wars. So my guess is maybe that was a transport that was in that maybe when they went there in the Clone Wars that was left over. I don't think it's the same ship that they used to. No, it can't be the same ship that they used in Rebels when they went to go and fight Maul and Dathomir.
That looked like Baylan and Shin's ship from the first episode.
No, it's not.
Same design. I know, well, like the thrusters in the back and then the cockpit, right?
There are a lot of Jedi ships like that. Mm. But, I mean, it could be. But there are a lot of Jedi ships that are like that, like the transport ships.
Interesting comment.
This was better than all the other Disney Plus Star Wars series so far. Just a lot of fun. This has been ranked as one of the best Star Wars shows.
Yes.
So
not my favorite, but yes, it's very good.
I don't think anything will really beat season one of The Mandalorian for me. I think that was just a step into a very unique view of Star Wars. And I think that's what was really,
yeah,
kind of
season one was so minimalist, it seems like, but it was great. And then season two, we all knew who was going to appear, and then they did it, and we wanted it, and it was like every episode was like a big, like, oh my gosh, they did do better. It.
We got Boba Fett, we had Bo-Katan, we had Ahsoka, we had Luke. To me, that was better, but, I mean, and season one, there was a couple of episodes I didn't like that much.
I like Andor. Andor is definitely, like, someone else also said second best is Andor, but my first is, my first would probably be the first like season of Mandalorian, and then Andor would be my second favorite, but yeah.
So Sage West on YouTube, he wants to know what we rank this episode.
Rank it 1 to 10?
The show or the episode?
Do both.
It's not my favorite episode. I think Thrawn's introduction is my favorite episode of the season. But I would say that this is the second best episode for me.
Hmm. I would probably rank this maybe like a 6.5, a 7. Because of there are a lot of great moments, but at the same time, it's just like we did not
get
a
setup.
Yeah. And we didn't get an after credit scene, which was kind of a bummer as well, because I was expecting for some type of setup for something of being like, hey, check this out. Or maybe they showed like a teaser for Skeleton Crew or Acolyte or something. I'm being like, this is what's to come. Or you like,
wanted an Ahsoka will return or something at the end. Is that what you wanted?
Dude, Avengers, come
That's
on,
what I was
man.
Thinking.
Yeah, no. I was thinking that too. As soon as nothing was completely answered, I was like, are we going to get at the end of the thing? It's going to be like Ahsoka shall return or something. Like that.
And I hate that Lucasfilm doesn't give that to us, you know? So, I mean, we need to know, like, right now, is there going to be a season two or we got to wait for the film, you know?
Well,
at the end, it said Ahsoka will return in season two.
Yes.
Or in Mando season 4 or in I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like we're just like kind of hanging here. It's like it's gonna be years until we continue this story thread, or because Skeleton Crew's up next, and that probably has nothing to do with Ahsoka or Baylan or Shin.
Okay, so here is my predictions for the upcoming shows, because I'm thinking that in Skeleton Crew, we'll start hearing more like kind of Thrawn news in the background and then be like, oh my gosh, like Thrawn has returned. But then in Acolyte, my prediction is we'll probably see Hugh Yang in some way, in some form, because, you know, he's been helping Jedi build lightsabers for a very long time. So my guess is he would show up in Acolyte. That would be amazing. And then maybe we see Thrawn kind of like, we have like a short, small Thrawn cameo in Andor season 2, showing that, you know, he was there. Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't think Tony Gilroy is going to go for that.
Well,
I think he already did his thing.
Well, not that. I think that at that point in the timeline, he might, that the events of Rebels is already happening. So I don't even think that he would even be able to be in it.
Yeah, the events tonight took place way after.
No. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the events of Star Wars Rebels. You know exactly what I meant. Get out of here. Having a Thrawn show would actually be pretty cool.
The same idea I kind of had with doing a Vader show as like an Obi-Wan season 2, but just call it the Vader show.
But the entire original trilogy and prequel trilogy is like, I mean, and this is coming from a big Anakin Skywalker fan.
But you got a lot of time there.
What did you think of their little interaction at the end where she's like, oh, just looking off into starlight? And I was like, okay.
Yeah. What did that mean? what are we talking about there?
Then Anakin shows up and he's like, yeah, I was here.
So essentially Sabine sensed Anakin's Force ghost, just couldn't see him. And then Ahsoka sent something too. She turned around and then Anakin appeared. Is that what happened?
But Sabine sensing Anakin was interesting. I thought she was like, I mean, for a split second, I was waiting for the moment of being like, look, something's coming out of hyperspace. And then we see like the Purgles or something like that. And then that's the end of the show. It's like, oh, okay. They like made it back. But no, they are stranded. There's so much mystery. Baylan's going and doing something cool that we probably won't see for a very long time. Season 2, maybe, of Tales of the Jedi. Who knows? Like,
something
we get more backstory. That would be cool.
It did make me laugh only until we could prove that they were zombies. Were we allowed to cut them in half or cut them at all? Like, every other time they're attacking the stormtroopers, it's like a slash or just them getting shot. And then as soon as they become zombies, it's like, all right, just like laser him in the head and then like cut his head off. I was like, all right, cool. I guess we got to make sure that everyone knows that they're already dead, guys.
Yeah.
So Ken Collects on YouTube says, I really believe is Abela, since her story is so in tune with this story. She used to lure Force users to her imprisonment. Obviously, this is expanded universe.
Yes. So for those who don't know who the character Abeloth is, we haven't really got a real look at what the character looks like, but they are a self-styled as the beloved queen of the stars and also known as the bringer of chaos, and was an extremely powerful Force user. So
yeah,
could really we see that there.
Yeah, it's possible. I was really kind of discounting like the Mortis gods narrative. Yep. I didn't think they would go there, but Filoni did. Facebook user says Thrawn saying Ahsoka could go the same way as Anakin is interesting, or just throwing it in her face.
I did like that. Also, I liked his analysis of her.
Yeah. Really cool. It almost like lent to like join me, you know?
Like, I think like something
Anakin turned.
I was worried about when I think the previous episode when Thrawn was talking about like, oh, I'm in the study here, that they were going to bring up the whole kind of like, you ditched your master and this is the reason. But she would have been like, oh no, I'm already over that because we had a talk. I was worried that they are going to bring that up, but I do like the fact that he said, I know who you're trained by. I looked up all the stuff and that's how I knew what to do. It's not that because of you leaving Anakin, he turned into Vader. It's because of Anakin training you, I knew what kind of actions you were going to take. And I was like, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was nice to hear that, like, saying, like, hinting that he knew that Vader had turned to the dark, Anakin had turned to the dark side, you know?
Yes, yes. That's really cool.
The subtle line makes a nice difference.
Yeah, but no mention of Batuu, which is so disappointing. It was good, and I want more, and we're not getting more for a while, and it's like, come on, man. And not even to mention a Max Rebo, like, I come on.
You should have heard Craig on the pre-show, Colin.
Oh no.
I might have to listen to that later. Jordy from YouTube says, for some reason, Andor felt like the stakes were higher. My only complaint about Ahsoka is that it felt like there was no stakes. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Ooh, interesting.
It was a totally different tone.
The difference between Andor and Ahsoka is, for Andor, we know exactly what's going to happen because it's all leading up to the events of Rogue One. We know that Cassian is getting where he needs to go. But we don't know anything about those side characters, right? But with Ahsoka, that's an untold kind of realm, an untold type of, kind of storyline.
I would say, like, plot armor wise, every single person basically in Andor is able to die except for Andor himself.
Yes.
As in the timeline of where we're going. Also, yeah. It's a much more grounded and realistic take on Star Wars in the sense that it's not force users. This is like boots on the ground, normal kind of people fighting a war. So I would say war has more of an emotional impact on that as towards this show, where I feel like the stakes are grand. It just doesn't feel the same because it's a whole bunch of people in Andor who are little people fighting something far bigger than themselves. Whereas technically the good guys have already won in this. And this is basically to stop the future of an impending doom coming. So I'm kind of like, yeah. Whereas the threat right now for, I want to say, Ahsoka, we can't really see it as of yet. Besides, like, we know Thrawn's coming. We don't know how much that actually means for the rest of the galaxy as of just yet.
I think there's a couple things we didn't really touch on, right? We didn't touch on Sabine finally being able to use the Force. Or Morgan Elsbeth wind up, you know, getting.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I like your sword. Goodbye.
Sabine was able to do it, like, in that moment when she was literally being choked out to death.
Well, I was wondering why they had the scene. Like, the only thing that took away from that scene with her in the lightsaber for me is personally they had. You know, how they're riding, like, the rat dogs, and she's like, Sabine, help with, like, force help opening the door. And you do hear the kind of, like, whoosh sound.
The rumbling.
Of her, like, using the force to help open the door. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess she can use it enough. So I'm like, cool.
What's up, Kyle? What'd you think?
Well, I apologize for being late. I missed my last hyperdrive connection. And
nice.
Coming from another galaxy. I enjoyed it. It went pretty much what I expected. I think the only real shocking thing to me was there was not more with Baylan and Shin. I mean, I thought they would do a little bit more there, but I think beat for beat, I think the only other thing that I was a little surprised about, but it fits better, I think, story-wise, was the fact that Ezra did get home and while they were behind, because I thought they were all going to be left behind, but I think it works out well because it sets up Ezra for some interesting storylines. Wherever we pick those up at.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
The Anakin Force Ghost, I think there's more to that to come, too. I have a feeling there's more to that. There's more to that light that was shining down that they were kind of looking into. I'm just curious to go. Ahsoka, there has to be an Ahsoka season 2 with them on this planet. There's too much story there to tell to try to tell it in Filoni's movie. There's a whole season of just being on that planet. Obviously, they're probably recasting Baylan after with the way this ended. So,
it'd be more disturbing if they didn't recast him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's too much story there that they need to do a season 2 of Ahsoka before they do this Filoni movie, because there's too much story there.
Yeah. Yep. Only time JD on tell. YouTube.
Yeah, JD on YouTube says, let's have a Star Wars Avengers style movie with Mando, Ahsoka, Grogu, Bo-Katan, Andor, Luke, Rex, Chewie. That's essentially what's happening. That's what was announced at that investors call. And
just minus Andor.
Years yeah. and years ago. So it's, yeah, it's all going to culminate in Filoni's movie. Cameron says on YouTube, Thrawn talks smart, but his actions are literally just send a bunch of stormtroopers, and that's about it. Really disappointed. Well, I mean, there was strategy there. I mean, all he's got to deal with is his army is stormtroopers, the undead, and then he has the grandmothers to resurrect them.
So, does this mean Norman Reedus is getting cast in Star Wars at some point?
Possibly. So we have another person joining us that wants to chime in here.
Oh, nice.
Retro Ray, what did you think, man?
Ah, dude. I kind of expected a lot of what we saw to a certain extent. But I just didn't get what she meant by we need to move on at the very end.
Yeah, she basically is just like, this is where we're meant to be right now. So... And I think that it's because she saw Morai. Mm-hmm. Because I know that Morai can basically pass through time and space. And whenever she sees Morai, it's always been like a fit of comfort knowing that she basically, like, this is destined to where it needs to be. So I'm like, I think that's what's going on.
So I guess I started thinking about that too. I was thinking maybe... This is where, when everything's going down over there, they're in a different galaxy, pretty much either starting over or trying to find a way back. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, I wonder how they'll make it back, because I feel like they're definitely a big part of a Filoni movie.
Well, I mean, not even that. I mean, they really didn't explain what Baylan was just standing on the edge of a rock. I mean,
what was he doing? That was a pretty big statue.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know what I mean. A big statue, this rock. But what was he doing? He's just standing there looking like Batman in the night.
Menacingly.
You know, I know. It was like, so what? They're still alive. Both of them are still alive. They're both on the same planet. I kind of guess me wondering, like, what's the deal between them two? You know, they went their separate ways. You know, it kind of got me thinking about that as well.
Well, I thought Shin would be on the Star Destroyer with Thrawn, so I was a little surprised by that, but it just sets up to have Master and Apprentice versus Master and Apprentice on that planet at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I'm still kind of trying. I'm trying to figure out what's Baylan doing. What is he? What's he planning, or what's his reasoning for doing what he did?
Yeah, it's really confusing because how. I mean, I suppose he could have heard some kind of legends or stories.
Well, to me, he's trying to get the power of the Mortis gods. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to become one of those gods. I think that's the real end game for Baylan. And I mean, someone brought up in the chat that Anakin could be the father already. And Colin pointed out that the father and the brother are dead. But we have seen the transference of power, like the daughter, to Morai. So... It's that whole Mortis gods arc thing is actually alive and well. So it's just like speculation. Well, who knows if it's going to be for months or years now.
And I do wonder how much of this is changed on the fly because of the Ray Stevenson situation. How much was cut out of this episode?
Well, why would they have to cut anything out if it's like that?
Because, well, I'm just wondering if they felt like there had to make some changes in the story with Baylan because of Ray Stevenson passing.
Yeah, it's possible. But like I said in the pre-show, I don't think there would be, it wouldn't be that. I think it would be, I don't think it would cause too much of an uproar if Baylan Skull did get recast and they can continue his story on.
I understand we all want him back. You know, we would have preferred him as the actor, but I mean, the Harry Potter recasting, I mean, they did pretty well.
Dumbledore, Gambon just passed away.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just means that we're going to have to learn to adapt a new actor, hopefully bringing the same presence that, you know, he bought to that character.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of one of those, it kind of bites in this industry when an actor does pass away in the middle of filming. Either they write him off or they continue him and recast him. So it's either or they're going to go with. So it's kind of one of those things. One of the things I wanted to ask you guys, I didn't, because I'm jumping in late, because you got to love Texas traffic because people can't drive in San Antonio. So I started everything late, getting home late, everything. But what did you think when you saw Sabine pull the Luke Skywalker on Hoth with the lightsaber? That was pretty cool for me.
It was a good reference. I liked it.
I liked it. Yeah. The Kiner brothers did change the music there a little bit. I like that.
I really like the Kanan reference at the beginning when Ezra's building his lightsaber too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was really good.
But did that mean they put clarification though? That shows that she does have Kanan's lightsaber. I can't remember her name.
Shin Hati.
Yeah. So she has his lightsaber because there was only two of those pieces that were available.
Yeah, I think you're right. That makes
sense. I'm wondering because I'm looking at Kanan's lightsaber right now for live action because they just have it now in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, I saw that.
It does look different than Shin's one, enough to where I'm kind of like, I think Shin's one might be just an original piece. They look very, very similar, but I'm looking at it now going, I'm not exactly for sure.
Well, the top part,
yeah, the top
looks identical.
Yeah.
And that's the part that Hu Yang said, this is the only other part that exists. Mm. And that's what I think Rey is referencing, just the top piece.
Yeah, just the top piece because he was looking for it.
Yeah. 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 Hmm.
Makes you think.
Zach says on YouTube, I think the fight between Morgan and Ahsoka was the best choreographed in the entire show, but I did really enjoy all the saber fights. It was pretty good. Yeah. And no one has brought up here Talsin's blade. That's Darth Maul's mother, right?
Yeah, so we actually did see that blade before in the Clone Wars.
Right, but not in live action. That's what I'm pointing to.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh! Like, I mean, I felt like I was Leonardo DiCaprio, where I was like, yep, oh! Because of that was also in the comic book of where she was actually using it, and she was fighting like the Emperor and Count Dooku and General Grievous, and Maul was there, and it was like a whole thing. But yeah, seeing that live action was actually awesome. I really enjoyed that, and I love how they incorporated more of the lore of the Night Sisters into that. And then they actually go to Dathomir. We didn't see them go to go to the planet surface, but seeing them there was pretty cool.
Okay, so did you guys kind of wonder why it panned on all those crates? Kind of like, what are...
I think because all those crates are fulfilled with dead stormtroopers that are coming back to life.
I think
what was that, Craig?
Dead witches.
Oh, you think that's why they're going back to
Dathomir? I also think it's a bunch of dead witches.
Because they said the catacombs. Why would stormtroopers be in the catacombs?
Right.
That many stormtroopers. That looked like there was been, you know, witches over thousands of years that have been buried in those things. And they're going to try and bring them back to life like they did with the stormtroopers.
I also thought that, but I was like, yeah, it doesn't make really much sense for it to be just more stormtroopers because if they can reanimate them now, why wouldn't they just keep them reanimated?
I think having a giant army of the dead is going to be very useful. And having that and then, you know, actual troopers and people like following in line, I think that's going to be very terrifying. But also, there's a chance that I could see like of when they're like, oh, hey, you know, Long Live the Empire and stuff, that people will be like, all right, this is way too much. This is not what we signed up for. There's like, you know, magic and all that stuff. This is something I didn't sign up for. Thrawn, I don't think you should rule. And then there might be like, you know, people are trying to turn against Thrawn because you have to think this is all leading up to the sequels. So we know Thrawn doesn't win. I wonder if they will fill in the blank of Ezra leaving the Chimera to get back to Hera and the others. We kind of talked about that of where my guess is either they went to the planet surface and there was an old Jedi ship there. David said that that was maybe Shin or Balin's old ship, but I don't, I'm thinking it's not, just because it's not the same. It's not the same one.
It looked identical to me.
I'll look again. Yeah. But...
And I think Zach pointed that out too.
What did y'all guys think of the final battle between when there was Ezra and Sabine fighting those two black troopers? Well, I don't know if they're really
the death
black
troopers.
Yeah, but did y'all catch it?
Death troopers.
Yeah, did you catch it that they actually, when he part of the face was actually like a zombie that was chomping at him?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I definitely like that. Interesting to see what other stuff that they're going to bring.
Yeah, Taylor Helton on YouTube says, would it be disappointing for Ezra to just jump at a space wheel and go pick them up? I mean, it seems like he could go, he could get them back in like a week's time. Am I wrong?
I don't know if Ezra's far enough along in the Force to communicate with the whales like Ahsoka did.
He's done it before.
He was stuck on the planet. You would have figured he would have done that in that 10 years time if he could do that, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's really good with talking. Like, that's his like Force ability, is being able to basically speak with animals. So who knows? I mean, you're basically just asking more whales to go die. So so it'll be interesting to see how they're going to get back. I genuinely think it'll be like through the world between worlds again, just because Mora is there saying hi. I'm like, I think they'll do that.
I think there could be something tied to whatever powers on that planet too that could get them back.
For sure.
Yeah, I think this is Tim on Facebook saying they need to be there to stop whatever Balin will eventually be doing. Well,
that's true.
Like I said before, I think Balin is seeking the power of either the father or the brother. And then you have Ahsoka, who kind of melded with the daughter of that holy Star Wars Trinity there. So, if Balin does succeed and he gets that power, I guess Ahsoka, along with Morai, could only stand up to him, really, along with, I guess maybe Anakin's Force ghost.
What were you guys thinking when you saw Anakin at the very end just standing there looking and the kind of look he had on his face?
I was really glad they put him in there. I wish he had maybe said something or add a little bit more, but I was glad they at least had him.
I think it's definitely setting something up with Anakin's Force ghost.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Anna maybe just gave us some breaking news here. Star Wars official page to change their post, which originally said series finale, and change it to season finale.
I think this show has been successful enough to warrant a second season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I didn't even know it said series finale up there on the website.
Yeah, I didn't either. Isaac Hicks says, another season, please, Dave Filoni. Then the movie, not one season, then movie. I think we're all kind of in agreement that we want a second season of Ahsoka.
I mean,
they did a pretty good job.
I think we would, just because you have to think, we have a long time frame before we actually get to the Dave Filoni movie. I think we have a while, actually. Like, we have a couple of years. So that gives them plenty of time to put some extra shows that they probably haven't even announced yet. And, I mean, 2025 in Japan is probably when they'll be like, here's season two of Ahsoka. This is one of the Dave Filoni movies, like, officially coming out. Here's this. Here is a Max Rebo documentary series, like, of just different things like that, that will probably happen. Because you're right, this show was great, and it did leave in a big cliffhanger. And if they don't have this show of the next season lead into the if they don't have this next season lead into the Dave Filoni movie, that's just going to be weird. And if this was the only one, they would have to do what they would probably do in a show in the movie, of where they're like, hey, we are saving Ahsoka and them, and then you have to spend some of the movie to go do that, when you could just do that in a show.
Because I don't think we'll see anything for the actual movie until Star Wars Celebration Japan.
Yeah.
Still like April 2025, and then past that, we don't really have a date for the actual movie. I still feel like there's a lot of time that we have until we hit that movie. I think a lot of people have it in their heads right now because that whole Mandalorian thing that they said, where they're like, we're not going to make a next Mandalorian season until the Dave Filoni movie, which I feel like everyone's like, oh, then that movie must be coming out very quickly. But I think,
I think that movie's not going to be until 2027, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be for a while in general.
At the earliest, because, I mean, it's just time. You got to take the time to shoot the show, make it, and then you got to have the time to shoot the movie. And if it's going to be a huge movie, it's going to be like 2 years waiting from the point in time where they start, where they finish. So I don't know. Maybe we don't even get it until next decade, really. I mean, it might take a little while.
No, it'll be 28 to me is the latest.
Yeah.
I think it just depends. Do we get an Ahsoka season two before that film or something else that fills the gap?
I would assume it's something that fills the gap just because we don't know if it's the first film out of the three that were announced. So, I mean,
they announced two in 2026 and then one in 2027, but that was before the strikes happened and pushed everything.
I think it's going to be two in 2027 and one in 2028. My feeling is the two in 2027 will be the Rey movie and Dave's movie, and then 2028 will be the Mangold film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of time to cover. I just think it's because we had talked about how The Mandalorian isn't getting another season until after.
But I will say this. I would not be surprised if at Celebration 25, they don't at least have a teaser trailer filmed for Dave's film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I did watch that first episode, David, of where we actually see Baylan and Shin come in, and you're right. The only difference is that the ship that Ezra comes back in is a lot dirtier than when we first see it.
Yeah, it's like mangled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jordy on YouTube says, when does Snoke take power? This is something we kind of talked about in the pre-show. He was famous by the time of the sequel trilogy. Do we think that he will be the one to defeat Thrawn?
Mm-hmm.
Way down the line.
See, if they do that, then they have to fit that into the sequels of some way of where, like, the people see Snoke as, like, their savior and stuff like that. But we really don't get that in the sequels. So I don't know if that would work. I think subtle hints here and there, but I don't think they're going to have something big like that will affect the sequels that much.
Mm-hmm. My feeling is that the end of Day's movie, when we see Thrawn defeated, I could easily see like a final scene or a mid-credit scene that shows like the first step towards the First Order.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a first sign of Snoke or something like that, but some kind of hint of that.
And we can't forget the list of names on Baylan's gauntlet that he had. It talked about Luke, Leia, Han, and Ben.
I think C-3PO.
And R2.
Yeah, well, they show up no matter what. But Ben being on there, I think we're going to get a young Ben Solo cast in one of these future projects, and we're going to see more of his arc. And if there's a Ben Solo, there's got to be a Luke Skywalker, right?
Well, and I still think there's more to
Ben Kenobi, you know.
Yeah.
I still think there's
going after the Force Ghost.
There's more to do with Jason's.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, true.
If it's supposed to be that he's going to go after them, or if it's just like a hidden cameo thing, like a hidden.
Yeah, it could be that too. It just could have been like filling his gauntlet with something with some Arvish.
Could be. What if it's they're pulling the Terminator? He's going back to kill off John Connor and knock him off one by one. Try for that one. Can't get that one. Go to the next one.
C-3PO, you're going down. Oh man, I can't. I just got a feeling that we will get that moment of where we'll see Ezra, we'll see Luke, we'll see Ahsoka and Sabine. And I'm telling you right now, Josh and I can't be the only ones. But if we see Cal Kestis come on that screen live action,
yeah, baby,
please, that's what we want. That's what the world wants.
They got to finish the third game first.
I know. Yeah, saying. There,
I think that game would be out before we get this Dave Filoni movie. I genuinely feel like we have time to wait. And I think that we still need to announce more Star Wars projects in that time being. But because I don't know if they're going to do, like, next year they're going to have one show where it's like, oh, we're going to do Acolyte this year or Skeleton Crew this year. Then next year we're going to have, like, Acolyte or Skeleton Crew. And then after that, then we'll maybe have a movie or not. Or we're going to have Star Wars Celebration at that time. We're going to see something new. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Star Wars is going to, unfortunately, slow down just because of all, like, the strikes and stuff. But it'll be interesting to see what's towards our future for Star Wars.
I think Disney's trying to cut corners financially right now, too. So I'm a little concerned about that. Iger said something not that long ago about wanting to do that.
Well, Iger said he wants to pull back, which I think they're doing with Marvel and Star Wars and everything else. But yeah, I going back to what Josh and Colin really want, I think a lot of people want the same thing. I think Cal Kestis is going to I give it a 70% chance that he's eventually going to show up. And we talked about it in the pre-show how I think they got to finish, like what Kyle mentioned as well, they got to finish that third game in the trilogy, and then they're allowed to kind of use Cameron Monaghan as Cal Kestis. He'll show up. People will love it. It'll tie into the video games. Yeah, way older though, but yeah,
they definitely used his likeness a lot. They also of the actor's likeness for Cal's, and they also used the likeness for the actress who plays Marin as well. So to me, that's like, you know, they like did that on purpose because they're like, hey.
Having those two come up, man, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, and that would be a great way to kind of tie in the whole Night Sister thing of having Marin come in and be like, hey, I've got some history with the Night Sister because I am a Night Sister.
They're going to show up and people would be like, you don't look that old. And they're like, oh, yeah, Tantalor. Yeah, it just, you know, it slows down time, you know, like... I mean, 5 years for me, 40 years for you. So, I mean,
I mean, I could see him doing that because if y'all played Starkiller in the last game, you see it towards the end where Starkiller meets up with pretty much like a young Leia. And then the symbol of the rebellions, kind of like an image is floating above the table.
Yeah.
So I can see them tying that at the end of maybe game three, leading into possibly kind of like putting a teaser towards that possibly.
Wait, of having the Force unleashed?
Yeah.
Starkiller's way up. I don't think that they're ever going to bring him in. As much as
I'm not talking about Starkiller. I'm talking about how they integrated Leia and then kind of pre-New Hope, where it shows the Rebellion logo and him meeting up with Leia.
Cal Kestis.
Tied in game three.
No, I get that. To me, that's just kind of copy and pasting something they've already done. So that's why I wouldn't want that to happen. That's my only thing. They would have to make it make sense of why Cal hasn't been, you know, part of anything of the original trilogy at all. Like, that's the main factor of you have to explain why characters aren't, you know, in a movie that was made in 1977. Like, you have to
make Jedi in hiding. Simple. Boom.
Well, yeah. So, no, I mean,
like Quinlan Voss, too. Where's he at?
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about it. It's like, okay, you got to look at Walking Dead. When you've got Walking Dead, you got Fear of the Walking Dead, and you got Walking Dead. It's happening at the same time frame, just in different parts of the country.
That's where Norman Reedus is, Walking Dead France, right?
Well, so, you could take that the into truth it. Of the matter is, This storyline and this movie that Dave is working on is an excuse to bring these characters we've been wondering about, even if it's in cameo appearances in a battle or something like that.
Flashback as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dave's got the whole toy box to work with.
Very excited.
Colin wants to know, is there a spot for Max Rebo in this climactic day?
There's always a spot for Max Rebo.
Come on. Thank you, Kyle. Welcome. Thank you.
Kyle is now a part of the Max Rebo tribe.
You are now part of the tribe.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Right, yeah.
I think I give it a 9 for tonight's because I think there's going to be a lot in the future, of course, that like really colors in this episode and the continuing story. And yeah, like Colin said,
we'll get better.
Yeah.
When we get answers.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a good episode to age like wine. And I'm really appreciative of leaving things open-ended to be able to be solved later. But I still have a burning like desire to know where this is going. And I really like that. And I feel like us for Star Wars people, we love to speculate. We love to talk. So I feel like this actually gives us something to eat on while we're waiting for a while.
So what did y'all think about when Ezra asked what happened between Sabine and Ahsoka? And he says the reason why she stopped training her was because
I liked that. That was a good explanation.
I think it gives us the answer to that question in a concise way without, you know, having to do a flashback or anything like that. And it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sabine being so angry over her family, Ahsoka knowing what kind of happened with Anakin, all those things together, I think it really adds up. And I thought it was a perfectly executed in how they did it. I mean, everybody was kind of hoping for a flashback to show it or something like that, but I think it really fit in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. Phenomenal. And you know what else was great? Throughout the series, Ahsoka often talked about how great of a master and a person Anakin was. You know, and I really appreciated that because that's what makes Darth Vader so much more interesting and compelling, is that he was a good person, you know, and he was a caring person. It's not as traumatic if it was like if he was a terrible person from the get go.
No, he was a good person. It's just, I think what happened, like I said, you know, what broke him was he wanted to protect everybody that he loved.
Well, and it's a trauma.
Yeah.
It's a trauma. Well, that's what happens with people, is when they are traumatized by losing people, they often become incredibly anxious and they want to do everything in their power to keep people close to them. And so they often become very controlling as a way to overcompensate. And so I think that when Shmi died in his arms, and I think this was brilliant writing by George Lucas, that when Shmi died in Anakin's arms, it traumatized him. And I think it caused him to split.
Yeah.
A trauma mm-hmm. that serious can cause you to split and have multiple personalities. That's what causes multiples and multiple personalities. So I think, you know, it's great how you see this loving, caring person lose mom. It traumatizes them. It was like at least the conditions of him splitting into creating another character, another alter, which is Darth Vader, and then being terrified of losing Padme and then doing everything in his power to save her. I mean, it's because that's what real human beings do with attachment trauma.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect of it too is and I think that's one of the things I really liked with Ahsoka, is it's really shown where the Jedi were wrong and the Jedi losing their way. And Ahsoka, as we see Ahsoka having left the Jedi Order, not believing in everything that it is, and even with Baylan, you're seeing two people who believe in something different than either just strictly the dark side or just strictly the light side, that there's more to it than that. That now they have different approaches to it, but the aspect of those strict rules, especially on the Jedi side, that they turned into just it was bending you towards something, because I think it was became impossible to expect somebody to live up to those rules constantly and not have attachment, not have emotion, not feel love. I think that's going against everything that is human nature. And so, you know, what are you supposed to do?
It's kind of like basically the Catholic Church, and the nuns are not supposed to be priests, they're not supposed to be married, they're not supposed to, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. It's basically the same premise, but to a certain extent, that's where the gray comes in, where you have some people who it's kind of like they want to follow the Jedi side, but then it's kind of like there's that gray area where it's like it only benefits them to a certain extent.
We know that vice versa. The Jedi religion is based off of Buddhism, and I feel like it's interesting to see nowadays just the, we're never going to get a air quotes gray Jedi, but I like being able to see the differences and seeing the flaws between both sides of it. And I feel like it's very well brought up in the Clone Wars series and or going into episode 3, but I now seeing the outcome of what's new, I really appreciate.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading the High Republic comics because I haven't read them, and I want to see, you know, from the beginning in that time frame where the council's, you know, found, being founded and put together and stuff like that. So I'm interested to read that to see, get more info on that stuff.
And it's probably going to pay dividends because Acolyte is all about the High Republic. So
That trailer like got leaked.
I actually saved it on my phone. I was going to send it to you guys. Have you seen
it? No, I haven't re-seen it, but yeah.
It's like a two-parter. It's a guy like dead center, and then it ends in the middle, and then there's a guy on the side recording it, and they put it up, and it's weird, but you kind of get the feel for it.
Why on earth are they just posting it now? Like,
good question. I have no idea.
It's so stupid. Why not just show it to people?
Yeah, they should.
Hype. People see a trailer, and they're talking about it for 3 years. Yeah. As opposed to, like, they release a trailer 3 weeks before it comes out. What was it? Was it Rise of Skywalker, where we barely had anything until right before the movie? Was that the one?
Well, we got Rise of Skywalker at Celebration.
Yeah. Craig, you were there.
Yeah,
I sat next to you. Craig, I was there, bro. You were there, too.
I know. Like,
wait a minute, let me think.
There was one. If I so long to really, they were just taking forever to show hardly anything. They weren't like really promoting it.
Well, and if I'm Disney, why am I not dropping a Skeleton Crew trailer like now?
Right now, at the end of this show.
It's because of the strike. Like all of that stuff got pushed back. Most likely we'll be getting like five big projects next year, because you've got the game Star Wars Outlaws, you've got Acolyte, you've got Andor season 2, now probably Skeleton Crew, and then Tales of the Jedi season 2. So all that stuff most likely is going to be happening all next year.
And the talk is we could have another Visions project next year too.
That would be crazy. That would be awesome. I would love that. Yeah. Let's do it.
I think with Skeleton Crew though, because I really think we're close to the actor strike ending, with the writer strike over. I think Disney could have taken the risk and put out the trailer for Skeleton Crew.
At least the one from London. I mean,
yeah,
that was really, it was really good.
Give me Baby Max Rebo
going for that,
please.
Yeah, there is a baby or a preteen Max Rebo running around.
Yes, and it's so great, and he's got four limbs, by the way. Just saying. Get out of here. Four with limbs. Your two limbs. Get out.
Yeah.
Of here.
Doesn't he walk on his hands?
Craig,
oh, brother,
I will hop on a plane right now. I swear. Doesn't, what?
Doesn't Max Rebo walk on his hands?
That was.
Here we go.
I am not saying it on camera. I'm not doing this.
I feel like Colin's gonna just start playing the Last Jedi any moment on his feed, just as revenge.
He's gonna pull out his instrument and start playing jizz.
It's Jats now. It's Jats. Jats. It's Jats now.
It sucks, but it's
officially Jats.
They all changed the canon.
I thought Max Rebo really did walk on his hands.
Listen, they change a lot of things. Like no joke. Apparently, the Sarlacc is a vegetarian. He didn't want to eat anyone, and he sounds like Crush the Turtle. From Finding Nemo. There's a line from the book.
Hold on. If you watch like the old Return of the Jedi footage where they're doing making of stuff, isn't Max Rebo? Don't they say he's on his hands and he's playing with his feet?
That was. Oh my God! Please don't.
I think Colin's
going to be on the podcast
to explain. Can someone mute Colin and answer the question? I've literally asked it 3 times now. Does he play? Does he walk on his hands or not?
Let me kind of answer the question the best I know how to answer it. So originally, when Max Rebo was designed, he was designed with two limbs, and his two limbs were actually like his feet that would come up out and play the keyboard. Correct. But when they designed the actual like foam suit for Return of the Jedi, it looked more like he had two arms. And then when Kenner had to design the toys, they didn't have any concept art that they were provided to create the figure. So Kenner, when they made the figure, gave him like a humanoid appearance with two arms, two legs. So that, yeah, the toys look like that. But now, like in the new comic book that just came out that Ray actually just bought at the comic book store, he showed us, it looks like he only has two limbs, which look like legs that come out. So it's very confusing.
And
I haven't read it yet, by the way.
No, and then on top of that, there's the story in the certain point of view, Return of the Jedi, where basically it's a pilot to a 90s show, and Max Rebo is the main character, and he's trying to get his, like, he's trying to get to the gig that is Jabba's palace, and they say, you know, he's only got two limbs in that novel, and it bothers me because it's like, make up your mind. You went from two legs to four limbs to two legs, and it's just pick one. Pick one.
Isn't there behind the scenes footage where you see him literally explain that he's walking on his hands?
That was the original idea, but then George Lucas was like, this is way too complicated, so we're gonna do this.
I think his race is just like lizard. You just chop up a limb and you need to give it a little time to grow back.
I'm gonna
he's
watch
a lizard.
That footage now with the guy, because I remember them showing him like the person putting on the suit and like getting behind the piano or whatever, and it was like, oh wow, when you see it like that, it's like, oh, this is really weird. You guys don't know the footage I'm talking about.
No, I know what you're talking about. I heard it. Yeah,
there's footage like Sice Noodles, the guys underneath the boards and controller. Yeah, I've seen it before, but I never specifically heard that they were like, yeah, it's got two limbs. It seemed like there was a guy in the suit with his arms coming through and playing the space keyboard there.
We are slowly losing people watching. Yeah. I'm just watching.
It's late on the East Coast.
Yeah, Noah Richard here on YouTube says, whatever happened to Star Wars Eclipse? We have Colin and Josh here to answer that question.
Of news that they have said, it's still simmering. That's literally what they said. It is still coming. I'm not quite sure when, and especially it's just like, however long that could be, no clue. I know that we're going to get Outlaws far before we'll get Eclipse.
Yep. And don't worry, we'll break that down.
I have a feeling I'm working on trying to get the Star Wars video game project.
Not 1313, no.
Come on, do we even know what Eclipse is going to be about, other than it's a very bizarre, cool looking but bizarre Star Wars trailer?
It's happening during the High Republic era, yep. And we actually see Yoda in the trailer. I know. Congratulations. You have watched the documentary that went on Disney Plus. I'm so proud of you. But if you actually listen and watch it, you explain why they didn't do it.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying. That looks like
Yeah, but then if you see the actual movie, Craig, have you watched Return of the Jedi? Because if you look at Return of the Jedi, you know, the one we saw in theaters. I don't know if you saw it. It looks like that. And to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but that looks like arms, right? Yeah? Crazy? Cool.
Craig, have you ever watched the Star Wars?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have had Max Rebo violence on the bingo card.
I said that as a joke. I didn't actually think. You all know this is a gig, right? You all know this is just a big running joke. That's all this is. Oh my god, it's so funny.
Do you know how Rebo looks like that right there in that thing? I'm surprised they didn't come up with a baby walker that has that same design where a kid can be in there looking like he's playing the piano.
Yeah.
People have cosplayed, and I think they essentially use like a setup like that where they're sitting in something and they can like a walker type thing.
Oh man,
I'm looking for this footage. I want to see.
Okay. So, David,
I don't
is
know.
There...
I'm so upset. This you'd be excited that we're talking about Max Rebo?
Oh my god, it's too funny.
It is so funny.
Oh man,
people alive by talking about this. I don't know.
I am gonna just put everything we just had as a clip, and I'm just gonna post it like on all of our social on our social media platforms with no context of just being like, boom, here you go. This is it.
It's gonna be I did not have podcast hijacked by Max Rebo on my calendar. So
I thought we were supposed to be talking about Ahsoka.
It's gonna be like, have you seen our latest episode of Ahsoka? And we're arguing.
Oh man.
So David.
Yeah.
We have two giveaways. Let's talk about that.
You want to? Has anyone even
sure,
said
guys, yet? Fine. You know what? No one gets anything. There you go. You heard it here first.
All right. Well, I'll bring it up. I'll bring up the bingo card. Oh. So has anyone even like chimed in with the bingo? I haven't seen anything.
I haven't even seen it.
Okay. This, guys, I just want to formally apologize. This is the worst bingo card we've ever done.
Everyone's like, it's impossible to get a bingo. Of course I'm not going to say bingo.
We're so sorry. I think we're going to have to rework that and come up with something different.
Well, not for this giveaway. This giveaway, if you mark all the spots that were called out, that we're essentially calling that a bingo, but I don't think anyone has contacted us, right?
Okay, so hey, if you're watching and you want some Ahsoka lightsabers, boom, there
they
you
watched
go.
All the way to the end of the podcast, the first one there.
So Zach says my bingo is on Instagram.
Oh.
So maybe if you look at our Instagram profile there.
All right, hang on.
Oh,
hang
it's in on. The DMs.
Hang on. I'm checking. I'm going. Oh, okay. Wow.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah. All right.
This Facebook user called out bingo, so random Facebook user.
Who was the first one? The first one was Noah Richer.
Oh, wow. But what does he have marked, though?
He's got... he's got Penning a Lothcat, Rex, Leia, and the Obi-Wan and Anakin flashback.
Well, that's all he has marked?
He put a question mark on Inquisitor Ezra and a question mark on Ahsoka getting her kyber crystals. And in their defense, this one was a very hard one. Zach's got... Man, he went full out. He actually went to print the thing. He's got Petting a Lothcat, Order 66, Rex, Morai, which is good because...
Right, yeah. Because Noah didn't have Morai.
Yeah. Leia... and Obi-Wan and Anakin flashback. So he's got six because he's also got it petting along.
I think anybody who just sat through the last 20 minutes of this podcast should get to mark Max Rebo.
So you said that was Zach?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah, we'll verify that. And, make sure that's a proper bingo.
Oh, and as we're talking, Noah just sent me another one, and he marked all the ones that he had a question mark on. Okay. We'll figure that one out. But the one that that we do actually have figured out is the HasLab Ghost.
You already got the winner picked?
I do.
Oh, how do we pick the winner? That's a big gift. That's a big prize. Okay.
Colin went any, mini, miny.
and crazy enough, my name was on the list. Crazy.
I know how he
Colin Weaver.
Wow, did not see that coming.
Anything that could spell out Max Rebo was the winner.
Fair enough. No. So drum roll, please.
Oh, man, I'm nervous.
All right. And the winner is...
me.
Nathan Shank.
Oh my
god. Wow. That was a terrible like
applause. Wow.
It's the shock of it all.
Yeah. So Nathan Shank sent us a message. Congratulations. If you don't, within 24 hours, we will pick another winner. So
wow. We only got 24 hours.
Well, Nathan is actually one of our patrons.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So
well.
Good for you, man.
Looks like it paid off being a patron.
You got a till 11:06.
And then I'm start building your attachment room for the size of the ghost now.
Yeah, that's a huge ship there coming your way. So yeah, yeah. Congratulations, Nathan. Wow. Yep. That's some pretty good luck.
We're gonna have to rework that bingo because that was just a terrible.
But yeah, we'll finalize the bingo who actually won. Yeah. Look at the timestamps and come to a consensus there because yeah, like Colin said, it was tough. So yeah, we'll figure that out later. But yeah. Anyone have any closing thoughts, closing statements? It's the end of Ahsoka.
I think it lived up to the hype.
It was a great series, and I was really happy with it. I would have loved to seen if I could have had a couple different things. Obi-Wan and Rex more in a flashback somewhere. That would have been great. I would have liked to seen Anakin and Ahsoka fight a Mustafar, like I talked about. But other than that, fantastic series. Very happy with it.
Yeah.
I think it lived up to the hype. I think it lived up to expectations. I think even if it didn't go the directions everybody thought it should or went, I think the directions it went fit well. And I think anybody who's saying they're disappointed because they didn't get a conclusion to this, I think you haven't seen the writing on the wall. But I think we are now in that frustrating zone where we want more now, but you know, we got to wait.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it definitely was if you were a Clone Wars fan, it filled a lot of holes. Dude, you know what? I'm going to message freaking Build-A-Bear and say we need to build a Max Rebo Bear just for Colin so he can have it with him.
How many limbs though?
And here we go for another 30 minutes.
Did you know that Josh had to deal with this for like when him and I used to work with each other? Like
years
over, like, oh man, it was so fun. Ah, great time. Oh man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had to throw that out there.
So, General Kenobi has joined the chat. And he's asking, where was Luke, Cal, Andor, Maul, Lando, Max Rebo, Palpatine, Snoke, and the Bendu?
He's the second one to mention Cassian Andor. Has anyone watched Rogue One? I'm just saying, because I've seen so many mentions of, where's Cassian?
You never know those Night Sister resurrections.
Yeah.
I think he's vaporized. I think he's just ashed out, dude. I think he's glass at this point.
Oh man.
All right. Yeah, my final thoughts on Ahsoka. I thought it was great. I think Filoni did his job. I was nervous, like for that first episode of The Mandalorian that he directed. Filoni doing live action, but he seems like he's hit the ground running, and I'm excited for the future of Star Wars. I'm excited for all the Dave Filoni stuff that he does in the future going forward. Hopefully, like we talked about in the pre-show, he has a bigger role. I don't know how much bigger you can get from his creative executive position, but I still do trust in Filoni, and I think he's given us the best Star Wars after George Lucas has retired from Star Wars, essentially. So I'm happy. I'm happy with Ahsoka and where it's going to lead us to. And I can't wait to see what's up next.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Star Wars fans are happy with this series.
Yes.
You know, and it's great. You know, we're bringing people back together.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to look and see what Comic Book Nation has to say, because I listen to them and they tend to dog it sometimes.
So here's the thing. To me, the show is just a fine example of what Dave Filoni can do. And, you know, Clone Wars and Rebels is just like, boom, you have another hit. Without those shows, Ahsoka would never exist. So you have to think, you know, how important Rebels and Clone Wars really is. So if you really like the show and you love the work that, you know, that happened with it and everything, go and watch Star Wars The Clone Wars. Go and watch Star Wars Rebels, because that's where most of these characters came from. If we never got those, Ahsoka would never exist. So go and watch that. Go and check it out. honestly, it's worth the watch.
Oh, definitely. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think that is it for all of our pre-shows and post-shows for Ahsoka. It was a lot of fun talking out all of you guys, different hosts, different guest hosts for 8 episodes. And now I think we're going to continue on with the Tuesday podcasting, though. And Retro Ray and I have decided to cover some of the comic books that are out. So look forward to that. And if anyone else wants to join us too, covering these comic books, I think the first one up that we're going to do is Thrawn, kind of continuing with the Ahsoka theme. So everyone here is invited to join us whenever they have a chance, of course. And yeah, I think for Retro Ray, Craig Five, Kyle, Josh, Colin, my name is David, and may the Force be with you.
And the Max Rebo.
Oh.